Reading can be found on page 896 of the Church Bibles, John 10, verses 1 to 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Nick. Just add to that little passage from Ezekiel 34. Don't bother to turn to it, but you'll see the connection straight away. Ezekiel wrote, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have led themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land." Let's pray. Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much that you didn't leave us like sheep without a shepherd, but you gave your Son to be our good shepherd, to lay down his life for your sheep. Teach us Now about him we pray. For his great name's sake. Amen. Well, that reading from Ezekiel really feeds straight into our passage this evening. And we're in the middle of this little series from John chapter 9 and John chapter 10, and it's clear that Jesus has an issue with the religious leaders of Israel. In chapter 9, we saw two things happening. We saw a man blind from birth being healed and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the leaders of Israel implacably opposed to Jesus. And Jesus saying to them at the end of the chapter, you're the blind ones. In fact, you're worse than blind because you think you see. But not only do you not see, you're also leading astray all my people, or trying to. So we have this issue which carries straight on over into chapter 10, as we see right at the beginning, where Jesus said this, still speaking to the religious leaders, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So not only are you blind, you religious leaders, you're thieves and robbers, stealing away what belongs to God. Now we obviously changed the picture. The picture has changed from light and darkness, blindness and sight, to sheep farming. And sheep farming doesn't seem at first a particularly controversial illustration. But Jesus uses it very powerfully to illustrate three controversial points. I say they're controversial. They are, but they're also deeply comforting if we are his sheep. And the first point is this. Jesus said, I am the only gateway to eternal life. And the picture that he immediately introduces to us is of the sheepfold, this large enclosure outside the village where all the flocks of sheep were kept, belonging to that village. And the sheep would be guarded at night by a gatekeeper, and during the daytime they would be led out of the sheepfold to find pasture, to eat and drink and have everything they needed for life. And then in the evening, they'd be led back into the sheepfold to keep them safe. And their shepherd would lead them, and he would lead them in and out through the one gate in the sheepfold. There was only one gate for obvious reasons. And this was the sign that he was the real shepherd, verses 2 and 3. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So the real shepherd always used the gate, of course, because he cared for the sheep. The thieves and robbers climbed over the wall to steal away, if possible, the sheep from their rightful owner. And Jesus, of course, was saying, this is what you're like, you religious leaders, those thieves and robbers, trying to steal God's people away from him. And does this still take place, or was Jesus just talking about his own day? I think we have to realize that all down through the centuries, from that day to this, there have been thieves and robbers whose aim and purpose is to steal away God's people from him, if possible. And a recent example of this would be the election of a new archbishop in Kenya. You may have seen something in the news about this. In Kenya they have an electoral system to choose a new archbishop. And you may know that the previous archbishop of Kenya was a good and godly man who had stood against the false teaching in the Anglican Communion. That false teaching, I'm sorry to say, very much centres in the United States of America and the Episcopal Church. And during that process of electing a new archbishop, the Episcopal Church of America had deliberately tried to influence the process so that someone would be elected who would be biddable by them and who would lead that great church away from the Lord Jesus Christ. 4.5 million Anglicans in church every Sunday in Kenya, about five times the number who are in church in this country, in Anglican churches. And all those sheep were under threat during that electoral process. And I'm very glad to say that God answered the prayers of many people worldwide, and another good and godly man has been elected who will have nothing to do with the Episcopal Church, quite rightly, because they're thieves and robbers. It is a very, very serious matter, isn't it? And it's going on the whole time. Jesus spoke very clearly. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Not you, religious leaders. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door, the only door. Not a door." One of the most telling signs of false Christianity, false Christian leadership, is when people start to say, well, of course, there are many ways to God. Jesus is our way, but there are many ways. And it's a lie of the devil. I am the door of the sheep. When Jesus says, truly, truly, he's saying, you better listen to this. This is crucial. Amen, amen, it is in the original. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. I am the door of the sheep. It's a key test of true Christian teaching. We're called narrow for teaching it, but it's what Jesus said. And our church, our own church, insists on it in the 39 articles, the 18th article. You can look it up. It's a great article. I'll read it to you. It's powerful. Here we are, going right back to the 16th century. This is what we are to believe. Of obtaining eternal salvation only by the name of Christ. They also are to be had accursed that presume to say that every man shall be saved by the law or sect which he professeth, so that he be diligent to frame his life according to that law and the light of nature. For Holy Scripture doth set out unto us only the name of Jesus Christ, by which men must be saved. That's why this matters so much. It's a salvation matter. If you tell people that any door will do, they won't be saved. The sheep will be lost. Salvation only comes through faith in Christ. There is no other way for anyone to be saved. Now, people say, well, that's very restrictive. That's very narrow. But that's completely wrong, isn't it? Do the sheep think, as they see the gateway open into pasture in the morning, or as they approach the safety of the fold at night, do they think, oh my word, this is so restricted? No, they think, whoopee, food, water, life, safety. They love that gate. They love that door. That is the way to life. And Jesus said the same, didn't he? Verses 9 and 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus brings life. Any other way is death. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the only way gateway to eternal life, said Jesus. And of course the question becomes very personal, doesn't it? Because every sheep has to go through that doorway. It's no good thinking, well, you know, I'll kind of hang out with the sheep, but I'm not actually going to go in. You know, you're dead meat, aren't you then? Go through that gateway yourself. It's the only way. Each sheep has to go through. And you need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, have I entered through that gate? It's different for, the story is different for each of us in the sense that it may be sudden, it may be gradual, we may be do it when we're young, when we may do it much older, but every single one of us, sooner or later, has to go through that gate. Put our trust in Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. There's only one gateway. Well now, we could leave it there, couldn't we? But actually Jesus doesn't leave it there because he explains why this is true. And this leads us on to the second claim, which in some circles is equally controversial. When Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who dies for my sheep, verses 11 and 12. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The picture, once again, is of the sheepfold containing several flocks, each flock with a different shepherd, and the shepherds being a very mixed bunch. Some of them were just hired hands. They just were paid to do the job. The sheep didn't belong to them. So, you know, whilst it was safe, they did the job. And then when the going got tough, they pushed off. There's no way they weren't going to fight a wolf. The sheep didn't belong to them. You know, they were just going to hightail it out of there. But the shepherd who owned the sheep, he was different. The shepherd who the sheep belonged to, he would face anything for the sake of his own sheep. Even, if necessary, he would die for them. Now, we know how that applies. We know that it applies to Jesus. And the trouble is that sometimes it just kind of washes over us. Ah, yes, Jesus died for me. But we don't really stop to consider what that means. It means that the shepherd took the place of the sheep. The shepherd died, the sheep lived. And that's what it means for each one of us. Jesus died so that I can live. Jesus died so that you can live. He took your place. He took my place. I am the good shepherd who dies for my sheep. Now, once again, that is something that we need to take on board personally, isn't it? No one else has ever done that. That's why he's the only way. It's quite simple, isn't it? No one else in the history of creation has ever come and taken our place. There is no other Saviour because there's no other Good Shepherd. Jesus knew what was going to happen when he said these words. We're still 10 chapters away from it, but he knew perfectly well that he was the Good Shepherd who had come to die for his straying sheep, had come to suffer the judgment that his sheep deserved. And once again, it's a controversial claim. There are whole sections of those who claim to be part of the church who don't believe this. I may have told you about a clergy meeting I attended down in Winchester some time ago now, where a speaker had come. We'd been told by the bishop all to go and listen to this speaker, and he'd waffled on for ages, and it was supposed to be all about the cross. And he'd never said why Jesus had to die on the cross. And so I gently asked, do you think that he became sin for us? Do you think that he took our place? And the speaker waffled on a bit more. And afterwards, the clergyman sitting straight in front of me turned round and said, with a very grim look on his face, I hate that teaching. It's shocking. It shocked me. You see, people say, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why should an innocent man die in place of the guilty? It's not fair. Of course it's not fair. Of course it's not. If you want fair, go and talk to the wolf. Thank goodness we've got a good shepherd who died for us so we didn't deserve it. That's the best thing that could possibly happen for a sheep like me and you. And that's the good shepherd that we need to know, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, the sheep, the shepherds knew their sheep individually. That's what we read at the beginning of the chapter. They knew them by name. Each sheep had a name. They may look all the same to us. They don't to the shepherd. He knew their history. He knew their parents. He knew their troubles and their problems and their characters. Apparently all sheep have a different character. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And how could he know them better than this? I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. He knows us as well as God the Father knows God the Son, and God the Son knows God the Father. It's awesome, isn't it? He knows everything about us. He knows all our sin and all our sorrow. And he loves us as the Father loves the Son, for laying down his life for us. Isn't that amazing? The good shepherd knows his sheep, and we know him. If we're his sheep, we know him and trust him, whatever happens. Here's a story. I don't know if it's true, but it makes the point quite movingly. I'll read it as I found it on the internet. High on the moors in the Welsh Highlands, two Christians met a simple young shepherd boy. They explained that Jesus wanted to be his shepherd, who would always look after him as he, the boy, looked after his sheep. They taught him to repeat the words, "The Lord is my shepherd," using the thumb and fingers of his right hand to help him. The Lord is my shepherd. Some years later, one of them was passing through that same village and asked after the shepherd boy. The previous winter there had been terrible storms, and he was told that the boy had died on the hills, buried in a snowdrift. But the villager who was telling the story said, "There was one thing, however, that we didn't understand. When his body was discovered, he was holding the fourth finger of his right hand." The Lord is my shepherd. Do we know Jesus like that? My shepherd. Whatever happens. There's one sure sign that we do, and that's the third great statement of Jesus here. In summary, Jesus said, "I have many sheep, but they all listen to me." Verse 16. And then we're near the end. "I have other sheep," said Jesus, "that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Now, this was highly threatening to the religious leaders of the day who wanted control over all God's people, for Jesus to say to them, "You don't know the half of it. You don't know the half of it. I've got sheep you know nothing about." And of course, once again, the picture is of the flocks in the sheepfolds. And it wasn't the only sheepfold. There were many others. And sometimes one shepherd looked after flocks in different sheepfolds. But they were all his sheep, wherever they were. This village, the next village, they were all the shepherd's sheep. And they all knew his voice. And of course, in those days, the key transition was when Gentiles started to come in to the fold. The Jewish leaders were horrified at the thought, but Jesus said, well, they're my sheep too. And of course we know that the process has gone on ever since. And there are Christians all over the world, in every part of the world, and they all belong to Jesus, and they all have the same distinguishing mark. They listen to him. We listen to him. When we meet with Christians anywhere in the world, we find that they're listening to Jesus. They're longing to hear from Jesus. They're doing what we're doing this evening. They're opening the Bible and listening to Jesus. Time and time and time again in this passage, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to me. They don't listen to strangers. They listen to me. There are so many messages going around in the world today, but we're to listen to Jesus. His voice cuts through all that static, all that babble. The voice of the shepherd who died for you and for me. And we're to make sure that we get to know his voice and recognize his voice. It's so easy to get out of touch. We're sheep, we're silly creatures, we have short attention spans. So make sure you're listening day by day, week by week. Don't miss out. We have so many opportunities here. Listen to his voice, get to know his voice, recognize his voice, follow his voice. If you're finding it hard to hear his voice, get help. Ask. Take every opportunity to listen to him. He is the only gate. He is the good shepherd. Let's listen to him. Amen.